You are listening to Lightly on the Ground Radio, produced at Richmond Independent Radio. And I'm in the live studio today with Elizabeth Rogers, who just released a film called Hot Water, which is about the issues surrounding uranium mining. There's a lot of history in the film. There's a lot of geography in the film. And it's packed with information, good, solid information. Well, Liz, introduce yourself a little. Tell me where you're coming from and how you embarked on this adventure of learning about uranium mining and making this film.
Oh, my gosh. Introduce myself to your audience. I am up until this started, I was retired grandmother and basically one of the ladies who lunch, and stumbled across this issue when I was working on a documentary film about Native American sacred sites in South Dakota in the Black Hills. Part of that process involved doing an interview with a wonderful Native American woman, Charmaine Whiteface. And she spoke in her interview about sacred sites in the Black Hills that had been destroyed by uranium mining. And that there's so much radiation in the environment there that if you were to spend 24 hours in that area, you would exceed your annual limit for radiation exposure. So I put a segment together for that film. I started to put together a segment for that film, and it ended up running about 10 minutes, and it the story was just so big that we realized we just couldn't leave it at that. We needed to go back and do a complete film on its own about that issue. Once we started and realized how far-reaching the problem was, I thought it was just in that area. I was so naive. It's like I came into town on the 5 o'clock turnip truck. I was so naive. I thought that it was just a problem in that area. Mm-hmm. And then I would do this nice documentary about how awful the situation was, how many people were getting sick, how many people had cancer. And then I realized, oh my gosh, it's everywhere.
It seems to be. I mean, it is an international issue. And one of the things that is mildly amusing about the issue here in Virginia is that they're talking about power for Virginia. But uranium is traded as a commodity on the worldwide market, so there's no reason for any of that uranium to stay in Virginia.
Oh, absolutely
versus being
not.
Shipped all over the world.
Oh, right. Absolutely not. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I saw the film last night, and it was just amazing. It was riveting.
Oh, thank you.
And one of the things that I really appreciated personally about it is that you gave so much of the history, including how the civil defense?
Civil defense films, War Department films.
Yeah, those of us of a certain age may have seen these in elementary school when we went down to the auditorium for a little news.
Mm-hmm. Duck and cover, Bert the Turtle. Get under your desk and cover your head. If you see the flash, what do? The flash of the bomb. And we had bomb shelters in the neighborhood. We watched these civil defense films, in retrospect, like the sheep led to slaughter, which is a very overtly dramatic way to say it. But at the time, we were so naive about the effects of what we were doing with atomic energy that we really believed that, as the film said, it's safe to go under the area where the explosion happened 2 minutes after it occurs.
Oh, and there are all those soldiers. But I don't want to talk too much about what people are going to see when they see the film.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Hot Water, and it was recently picked up for distribution.
Yes, it was.
So how is it going to be distributed, Liz?
Well, the distributor is very excited about the film, and they intend to do a full theatrical release on it and then have worldwide distribution.
When you say theatrical release, that means it's going to be playing in theaters.
In theaters.
In theaters near you.
We hope so.
Yeah.
Yes, it would be just really, really fabulous.
So ask for it. And you can go on the Lightly on the Ground Facebook page. You can go on the Keep the Ban Facebook page. You can go on the Roanoke River Basin Association Facebook page and find a link to this movie called Hot Water. So just as a quick aside, how did you find those films? Those old
films? They are all public domain property.
Oh, okay.
And they're all available on the internet. And there are so many of them.
And
oh, my
so
gosh.
Funny.
They are hilarious. I had to cut some of them out because I just, as a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one that's a cold cream commercial where the, looks like the 50s, maybe early 60s, where the woman, the commercial says, busy you in and out of doors every day. Imagine all of the dirt that accumulates on your skin. Dorothy Gray Cold Cream cleans better than any other soap or cleanser out there. We made the dirt on her face just radioactive enough to register on this Geiger counter. And a doctor is holding a Geiger counter up to her face, and it's just clicking away. And the woman just looks like a deer in the headlights. I mean, her eyes are just glowing. I couldn't believe when I saw this commercial. And there's another one, literally done by the government, that talks about good housekeeping, and that if you're a good housekeeper, you have a better chance of your home surviving an atomic weapons blast. Because it will be tidier.
Oh.
And there will be less things lying around to burn up.
I'll get right on it.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. I think every woman now should see that one bit just to get her blood moving.
Right. Oh, my goodness. So there's such a fine line between propaganda and marketing. There are some billboards around. Like, of course, there's the Keep the Ban on Uranium Mining billboard. Right. But a new billboard just sprang up that says that Pennsylvania County will be the home of the safest uranium mine in the world.
Wow.
And there's a lot of public outcry against that because a lot of people in the surrounding counties are not for uranium mining. The health benefits and the economic benefits do not hold up to scrutiny.
Exactly.
One of them that's intriguing is that they talk about how many jobs there will be.
Mm.
And Virginia is mainly an agricultural state. Our two main industries are tourism and agriculture, neither of which fare well under radioactive danger.
Right, yeah. Right. There isn't much that fares very well under radioactivity, as is evidenced by the situation in Japan right now with Fukushima, which is precisely the same type of situation on obviously a very different scale. Because the types of emissions that are coming from those reactors right now are off the chart deadly, beyond anything that we could fathom. I mean, exposure close to those reactors literally would, you would die before you got away from it. You would die that quickly. Hmm. Less than a minute, it would kill you. Now, this kinds of radiation exposures that you would be subjected to under this kind of radioactivity in the environment, in your food, in your water, in the air that you breathe, will kill you more slowly. Which, gosh, that's good news. I guess that makes this uranium mine safer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or the safest. Now, it's hard for me to even respond to a billboard like that mm-hmm. because it's that type of marketing, not because it is so true that I can't deny it, but because it is so patently misleading that it's insulting to everyone's intelligence. There is no way to safely mine uranium, period. And the safest uranium mine in Virginia just means it's the least deadly, but it is still deadly. It will release uranium radioactive materials into the environment that are buried very, very deep underground.
And pretty safely at this point.
That is what protects us from it, because it's underground, where it has been meant to be for millions of years, regardless of how old you think the planet may be. As old as it is, that ore has been underground for millions of years. And that is what has protected us and allowed us to live on the surface. Once that's released into your bloodstream, the bloodstream of the planet.
The water.
The water?
Mm-hmm.
That's Mother Earth's bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
Once that's released into the water and the air, the soil, and we all ingest it, what I didn't know when I started this process and what most people don't know about these kinds of radioactivity is that radionuclides, alpha radiation, is waterborne, airborne. It's in the soil. Your skin and your clothing is enough to protect you from external exposure to alpha radiation. But if you breathe it, you take a breath, and it's in the air, it's in your lungs. If it's in the water, if it's in your food, it's born in those elements. It's soluble. And if it gets into your system, it stays there. It does not go away. It builds up.
And at this point, the uranium is safely trapped in huge granite rocks below the surface
Absolutely.
Of the ground. And yep. what uranium mining would do is dig up chunks of rock
mm-hmm.
and crush them into powder and
yes.
sort out some of the radioactive elements.
Correct. Now, what is proposed to happen up on the Coles property here in Virginia is that it will be mined there and then milled on site, which means that not only will the mill tailings, the leftovers, be on the surface, but the milling will happen there as well, which means that the slurry, the bits of the ore and processing materials will also be on site. They're proposing that there would be 8 40-acre tailings ponds.
That's pretty big.
8 40-acre. So 320 acres of pure uranium byproducts. Those mill tailings contain levels of molybdenum, arsenic, ammonia, uranium, and will be deadly, deadly for tens of thousands of years.
Do you think that, from your research around the nation, do you think that this site has any advantage over any other possible uranium mining site that would make it so that it wasn't as dangerous afterwards as the ones that have been abandoned?
Oh, no, it's actually far more dangerous.
Because we have so many hurricanes, we've got so much water.
It's
and
the
a higher population than in
other. Higher population, yeah. A much higher population than in the American West. The water levels here are much higher. 40-plus inches of rain a year here in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
the ability to transport that radiation is exponentially higher than it is in the American Southwest, which is desert. Exposing it to the agriculture,
mm-hmm.
to cattle, to livestock. If you have a goat that eats the grass that is saturated with the dust that has blown from this, if you have a cow, a dairy cow, sheep, any animals that eat, that live on the soil that's contaminated or that has been contaminated by blowing dust from this thing
mm-hmm.
are going to be contaminated with the sulfur radiation. They are going to be full of it, and you won't know it. I mean, it won't show up in their lifespan, which may be a year or 2 years, however long their lifespan is, certainly in livestock.
And it doesn't show up. They don't test the meat for radioactivity.
Absolutely not.
No
one does. No one does.
Right. Huh.
No.
Well, one of the things that I've heard about this site is that they're going to put the tailings in ponds that are lined with a heavy-duty plastic sheet. And I rarely use plastic because I like to use glass and stainless steel and things like that for storing. And but I mean, if you use plastic bags a few times or if there's any stress, I mean, they could easily be punctured or – and I know it's going to be thick, heavy-duty plastic. But where are we getting the plastic? And, I mean, does the manufacturer have some kind of guarantee?
Is really interesting. And I started to research this myself. Again, to repeat for your listeners, I'm not a scientist by any stretch of the imagination. All of the information I got through researching online. This is all very easy to find. It's not difficult to find. It takes a little adventurous spirit, and you have to be just a tiny bit twisted, like me, to get into it. But
it is an itch.
Yeah, but that must be scratched.
It's an itch. Yeah, that's an itch. But yeah, it's something that's getting wider and wider as we examine. Yeah.
It absolutely does. Well, now in the case of these liners, now. If you think of one of these tailings ponds like a swimming pool, for example, that has a heavy-duty vinyl or plastic liner, these liners are much thicker and much higher quality than, say, a plastic wrap that you would get. But it's, in theory, the same type of thing. It's a manufactured liner.
And it's still flexible, so it's at least thin enough to be flexible.
Exactly. It's on a roll like a saran wrap, except that it's obviously very, very thick and big. Now, I've only been able to locate manufacturers in China. I have not found a manufacturer in the U.S. And these liners are put down and sealed together in what looks like a big pond. And then these tailings are this liquid slurry from the processing is put into these ponds in liquid form. And they have in the – some of them have almost like a sprinkler in the center. that blows the water up into the air to help the water evaporate out of this pond, and it leaves all of the nastiness behind.
Oh, sort of like the lagoon at a shopping center. I never thought about that, but the reason the fountain's there is not just for aesthetic beauty, but probably to keep the lagoon at a low level where all the rain runoff from the parking lot is being collected.
And it evaporates it off and keeps it moving. So,
well, we don't want a stagnant tailing pond.
Well, it would get nasty. Yeah. It's just so healthy otherwise.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, one thing you would really, really notice right away for those who care about birds is that there will be countless bits of flying wildlife that will instantly die, and most of them in the area of those tailings ponds will be found dead in them because they're so highly radioactive. You can't get close enough to personally see it, but yeah. There are. It's a known fact from.
So nothing's living in these ponds.
No. Okay. It's toxic beyond comprehension.
That's adding a lot of water surface to the land without making it usable for wildlife.
Correct.
Or people, for that matter.
Oh, absolutely. This property would be unusable for millennia.
So this plastic has been used recently in other sites?
Absolutely. It's been used around the world, or certainly across the United States in these circumstances. And then what happens first is that the pond liners have a guarantee by the manufacturer. Uh-huh. Generally, these guarantees...
Which is an overseas manufacturer.
Probably China. Even if it's the United States. Let's just say it's a reputable United States company that's manufacturing this. Mm-hmm. Their guarantee may be as much as 50 years.
But wait, that doesn't even touch the half-life of...
The half-life of uranium.
Oh, okay.
238 is 4.5 billion years, so...
Well, the 50 years
doesn't mean
it doesn't register.
A lot, no. And if you think about a swimming pool liner... How often do those liners have to be replaced? How long do you expect a piece of plastic in the environment to last?
Mm-hmm. And this is joined, it seems, already.
Correct.
So
yeah.
It's up to the installer as well as the manufacturer.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
The right,
and of course, it's never possible to inspect every inch. They're not leak tested before. It's just ridiculous. I mean, you know, in the best case scenario, the thing lasted two or three times. What it's supposed to, mm-hmm. And it lasted for 200 years. It lasted for 400 years. It's not going to contain the amounts of toxic and deadly waste that are in those ponds. Now, we do not have a place to store our nuclear waste. That we are already generating.
Yeah.
So why would Virginians allow nuclear waste, radioactive waste, which is the exact same thing, equally as toxic and deadly, 300 plus acres of it to be stored close to the surface on their land. It is nuts. It's crazy.
It's counterintuitive for sure.
Yeah. Nevadans wouldn't allow the Yucca Mountains buried a mile below the surface to be used for storing nuclear waste. They said no, because it's an earthquake zone, weather happens, acts of God happens, things happen, and you cannot promise us that that will not get into our environment. So they said no. So all of that waste is being kept on site at every nuclear plant in America because they have no place to put it. So why would Virginians allow 300 acres of toxic nuclear radioactive waste to be stored at the surface, wrapped in a swimming pool liner, on their land? Mm-mm. Easy question, easy answer. It's nuts. And it's about the jobs.
It's about short-term profit.
That's right.
The owner of the land.
That's all that they have to say. Virginia Uranium, it's about the jobs. Stop whining. Start mining. You know what? You go through chemo and then tell me to stop whining, right? Now, I'm 60 years old. When I was growing up, I didn't know anybody who had cancer.
Yeah, people had TB, they had, you know, dementia.
In the last 20 years, how many people do I know who have cancer?
It's amazing.
How do you count them all?
Then I have a question. You know, people had TB back in the day, and we weren't allowed to see them.
Mm-hmm.
They were put in sanatoriums. I'm wondering if some of those were victims of that incident where they sat down a bunch of our military troops and blew up an atom bomb very close by just to show that it was
how
okay.
safe it was and they weren't afraid of it.
Yeah, but then 83% of those men died
of cancer. By the time
But I'm wondering 50. If some of the TB that we were looking at as children, I knew of men who had TB. I wonder if they were actually lung cancer victims from the nuclear blast.
Interesting idea.
Well, I'm kind of at the point in this where I really want to find out what we need to do besides go see the movie Hot Water. We do have a legislature assembling in a few weeks, just in January. Our General Assembly comes back in.
Mm-hmm.
Our governor has just come out against uranium mining in Virginia. And
Our new governor, Terry McAuliffe.
And I know that Andrew Lester had something to do with that in that he informed him in a private discussion of what the dangers of uranium mining were, and I want to thank him for that.
Yes.
But I want to thank the governor, and we need to get in touch with our legislators.
Absolutely. I made the film to educate. I felt so stupid. I was so embarrassed. When I found out what was going on and what it means, I was ashamed because I thought I'm a reasonably intelligent woman. I'm no genius.
Informed.
Try to be informed. I'm involved in politics to some level, and I could not believe how ignorant I was of this situation. There's no reason to believe that our politicians on the local, state, and federal level are any better educated about this issue than I am. Very few of them are.
They have a lot of issues being thrown at them, too.
Absolutely. And this is a big issue. And if it isn't in their district, if it isn't on their radar, there's no reason for them to concentrate on that issue. We have to make them concentrate on the issue, and we have to educate them. Now, I didn't make the film to be preaching to the choir because I know that there are activists, nuclear activists, that know way more about this subject than I do. But we don't need to talk to them. We don't need to convince them of anything. We don't need to convince anybody of anything. What we need to do is explain what the consequences are and what the risks are of taking these kinds of actions with these issues like uranium mining and nuclear power. We have to be educated about these things before we allow other people to do things that can hurt our babies. I mean, hurting us, fine, but come near my kids? Mm-mm. My grandchildren? Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, 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 no. Let's talk to women about threats against their kids. This is huge because this radiation is going to be far more dangerous to your children than it is to you. Radiation is highly, highly toxic to young children.
And cumulative
because the way their cells are replicating. When babies, the fetus, when a baby's born and in through childhood and young adulthood, those cells are replicating at a very high rate. And those kids are going to be much, much more susceptible to cancers than we will be at our age now. That is why one of the reasons why these high rates of cancers are showing up now in adults my age and younger, because of the exposures they got during the 60s. Then the 70s, in areas where we were doing all of the nuclear testing in Nevada and all of that fallout was going all over the nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's called downwinders, if you Google the term downwinders.
Yeah. I do want to add that a lot of the environmental hazards are chemical as well as radioactive.
Absolutely. But this issue has not been addressed. It has not been addressed. Nuclear testing ended in 1992. Well, they're in a Nevada test site, but they're still now doing underground tests with depleted uranium.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get near it? I mean, I got busted trying to take pictures of the sign going into the Nevada test site. We have to be educated. We have to educate ourselves. And that is just what I hoped and do hope that the film will do, is bring everybody up to speed so you can't unknow something once you know it.
Right.
All you can do is pretend you don't know.
Right. And so all you choir members out there.
Right.
Bring a friend who does not know as much as you do. Bring a friend. But watch it yourself because you will learn things. I mean, I'm pretty informed about the issue, but I learned a lot during the movie. And there is science and history backing up what Liz Rogers is saying in the movie Hot Water. So I encourage you to see it if you're led to, and also to bring a friend who is not up to speed on it.
That is such a great idea.
Recommend it to your legislators. Vote.
If there's a way to get our legislators and our congresspeople in Washington, we are going to work on getting them a copy. If we need to sit down and hold them hostage to get them to watch it.
A Clockwork Orange.
Exactly. Oh, that's so tempting.
All right.
Oh, that's such a tempting, wonderful idea.
Right. Well, let's not say we did.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's a good enough film that you can actually enjoy it. You learn there's beautiful scenery in it, and there's beautiful, amazing facts in it. And there's pathos. Forgive me for raving. I don't go out and see a lot of movies, and I don't watch television. But I want to thank you, Liz Rogers, for coming here to Richmond and for adding our Virginia story to your story, which was not initially about Virginia, because as you said, you thought that it was a limited problem.
I did.
So if people want to know more about the movie or about your work, where would they go?
Our website is Zero Hot Water, Z-E-R-O, hotwater.com.
You're listening to Lightly on the Ground Radio, recorded in the live room at Richmond Independent Radio. Our guest today has been Liz Rogers, who produced the film Hot Water, which is going to be released in a theater near you soon. And the theme music was Bonefire Dance by Rattlemouth. And I want to thank you again for listening, and thank you again for coming, Liz Rogers.
Oh, I'm so honored. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's get out of this cool sunshine.
Let's do it.